Recent research paper on the Tyrannosaurus rex, published in the Journal of Evolutionary Biology, stirred up controversy in the world of paleontology. The authors argue that the T. rex we know and love slash fear should actually be split up into three separate species, which could change the way we study the iconic dinosaur. Our guest today says, not so fast, and that the fossil record from over 65 million years ago doesn't match the three species theory. Thomas Carr is director of the Carthage Institute of Paleontology, senior scientific advisor for the Dinosaur Discovery Museum in Kenosha, and an associate professor of biology at Carthage College. I spoke with him yesterday. Before we dig into the T-Rex in particular, can you talk about the challenges involved in saying that this is one dinosaur species, these are two separate species, and so on?
Yeah, so that's an issue that is sort of the bugbear of all biologists. Species, when you don't have much information, tend to be kind of fuzzy things. And even then, when you have really good information, even on living species, sometimes the boundary's a bit fuzzy. But basically for fossils, what we do is we pick out features that, say, set a new fossil apart from all others. And we test that by finding new fossils in the same place, in the same geological time. And each new fossil tests that idea of uniqueness. And if, say, a new fossil has the same features as one previously found, then we can be pretty sure that we're arriving at a good concept of one species. So we have to work out the things that we should expect to be different between individuals of the same species. And also, of course, we have to be aware of what makes closely related species different. So it's a sort of a double-layer challenge.
Now, the Tyrannosaurus rex, since I was a kid, I think everybody's regarded that as one species. What are some of the defining things that say, hey, this fossil is a T-Rex and those aren't?
Right. So T-Rex's closest relative is, its name is Tyrannosaurus bitar, and it lived in Asia. And there are many features throughout the skeleton that make them different. One of the first things that really stands out is just how big T-Rex is. T-Rex was the biggest of the Tyrannosaurus, and bitar, in contrast, was a bit smaller. So we have overall size. Also, we have the number of teeth in the jaws of adults. T-Rex can have as few as, say, 11 teeth in its upper jawbone, whereas in bitar, there's 12 in the lower jaw. In rex, it can be low as 12. In bitar, that number is around 15. And there's a whole bunch of other features in the skull that really are easy to pick out in adults as well as young animals.
Well, and here's this paper getting a lot of attention and a lot of skepticism from people in the paleontology community saying, hey, maybe we've got three species here. In a nutshell, what's the argument from this paper, and then why are you and others skeptical?
The argument is that the three species can be distinguished based on the overall form of the skeleton. Say, you know, if it's robust, so a chunky skeleton versus gracile, a slender skeleton, and also the number of small teeth at the front of the lower jaw. And one species is claimed to have two small teeth, and the other species have one small tooth. And also, they're supposed to be stratigraphically discrete, but they really overlap, and so we start getting into the issues. The bottom line for me, Rob, is that there's no reason to think, to begin with, that there's more than one species represented by all the skeletons that we otherwise identify as T-Rex. I did a very extensive and thorough study of variation in T-Rex that was published in 2020. I examined 1,850 features to really get at the bottom of, what is going on with the variation we see in T-Rex. And most of it's explained by growth, and the rest of it is what's called individual variation, features that just make an individual T-Rex an individual. And I did find that things like being gracile or robust and also the form of those front teeth are noise. It's just individual variation. It doesn't really mean anything biologically at all, except they're just things that set that separate out individual specimens of T-Rex. These don't segregate out as three discrete groups, and I did include those features in my analysis. And I just do not get three clusters of, you know, that might represent three different species. And so, you know, I find this current study a bit frustrating that it really didn't take earlier work, didn't really take stock of it, and then it's just, you know, hung these or named these additional species based on just two features out of, you know, almost 2,000. It just really is quite amazing.
You mentioned a pretty large sample there. How much do we know about T-Rex based on that fossil evidence compared to a lot of other dinosaur species?
Yeah, we know a fair amount about T-Rex. So the sample size for T-Rex is pretty good. For my study, you know, I started with 44 specimens. Their study is, you know, slightly less than that, but comparable. We have many specimens of adult T-Rex. So we have a really good handle on growth variation among adults and also individual variation. And so if there were any species differences among the adults, as the authors claim, there should be way more than just two features, you know, identifying these species. There should be a whole bunch, a whole host of other features along for the ride. And we just don't see that. So just, you know, the claim that these three species can be separated on the basis of two features seen across all three species, and in some cases they aren't even different, is really quite an extraordinary claim to make when there's so much other data out there. And I've basically done the work, and I just do not get three groups of adults.
As we wrap up, Thomas, what to you is the biggest unanswered question about T-Rex, setting aside the species argument there?
Yeah, we really don't know much about the early growth stages of T-Rex. So we don't even have, you know, eggs that are identified as T-Rex. So we don't have embryos, we don't have hatchlings, we don't have small juveniles. We've got, you know, maybe one 20-foot subadult. But we really don't have a good picture of how T-Rex grew up in its earliest years. So that is the unknown territory for T-Rex. And that's why it's really important for paleontologists like me to keep going out to the American West to look for more fossils.
Thomas, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thomas Carr is director of the Carthage Institute of Paleontology, senior scientific advisor for the Dinosaur Discovery Museum in Kenosha, and an associate professor of biology at Carthage College. He's with us today talking about dinosaurs and what we do and don't know about the Tyrannosaurus Rex.